Cat Step, written by Alison Irvin and read by Sophia Greenacre. Part 1. One. Emily will ask me one day about Lennoxtown. She may discover that she and I lived there briefly when she was on the cusp of 4 and 5, and I'll need to have answers when she asks me why we didn't stay. I'll tell her something of the story. She'll believe me because I'm her mum. By then, I may have made sense of her dad. The truth is, Emily and I danced a demi de tourne. We stepped up to Lennoxtown, then turned away from it, a half turn, even changing feet so that a new foot was in front. Yet, there was no ballerina's precision or elegance. It was ugly. Lennoxtown is hard to turn away from, I'll give it that. Those hills. You catch them as you come round a bend, half submerged in cloud or crossed with sun and shadow, or shining with the gold that comes off the grass you get up there. I imagined us climbing them, the Campsie Fells, picnicking, exploring, lying out in good air. But we came in March, and winter wasn't over, and it rained and rained, and my plans didn't work out. There was one thing I could have done differently. My mum said I should leave Emily with her and go alone, have a break, live a little, earn some money if there was any to be earned. And I nearly accepted. I nearly thought it the most sensible of all the options I had. I paused on Lair Extension and then took her with me. I use ballet terms, but I was never a ballerina. I did the training and I almost had the technique, but not the physique or that extra porcelain quality. I was a dancer. A very good dancer, a tapper, a hoofer, a high kicker. I wore feathers and sequins and American tan tights and travelled the world on cruise ships. I will tell Emily that. This is what I won't tell her. She had been awake between the hours of 2 and 3 the night before, crying and thrashing with a temperature and a sore head. I gave her paracetamol and put a cold flannel on her forehead and thought if we ever got back to sleep it would do us good to lie long into the morning. But she woke at 6 and although she was calmer, she was weak and didn't want anything other than television. In the end, she didn't even want that. I tried to curl up with her on my bed and help her get back to sleep, but she wouldn't settle. We had nothing in. The bread was gone, the milk was off. She liked fish fingers, and I knew if we drove to the co-op I could buy some fish fingers and more milk and bread, and she might fall asleep on the way home. I knew it would work for her. It always had. I told her she could wear her dressing gown over her nightie, and I'd buy her a treat. I brushed her hair, but I didn't wash her face or clean her teeth. I found her wellies because they were easy to put on, and I tied her dressing gown. See how I'm telling it? I had to tell it in this detail many times to many people. I'd forgotten about the roadworks and the temporary traffic lights, and of course, by the time the lights turned green, Emily was asleep. I wondered if I should drive straight home, but I had a queue of cars behind me, so I had to go on, and once I was through the roadworks, I was 2 minutes from the co-op. And we did need fish fingers and milk and bread and other things I'd remembered, like toilet roll and toothpaste. So I made the decision to go on.